Hello there and welcome to New Horizons, the weekly radio program of Blind Citizens Australia. BCA is the national consumer representative voice of Australians who are blind or vision impaired. Our mission is to achieve equity and equality by our empowerment, by promoting positive community attitudes, and by striving for high quality and accessible services which meet our needs. Right on, dreams Hi, this is Ricky Chaplin with New Horizons. Well, this week, a couple of success stories have come to light, and I'd like to share them with you because it always gives us some inspiration to keep trying, to keep moving on with our lives. And the first person I'm going to speak to this week is a man who's just got himself a job, and he's going to start at the end of September, so some really good news for him. Dean Calder, how are you going?
I'm good, thanks, Ricky. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm really well, thanks, mate. Maybe if you could just give us an update, I guess, as to how this employment for you came about, because as we know, for people who are blind or vision impaired, it's always quite difficult to find work. So, how did you go about getting into this position?
I've been out of work since 2009. I worked for 4 years on the switchboard for the ANZ Bank and was made redundant from that position. I went through disability employment agencies and things like that, and as it happened, the agency I was with, this wasn't a job advertised in the newspaper or anything. The marketer at the agency I was with approached South East Water, and it sort of so happened they were very interested in taking on people with disabilities. I went for the interview and they decided to employ me. So yeah, it's something I'm certainly really looking forward to starting work, to getting back into the workforce again. And I suppose my message for your listeners out there would be to persist, because you just never know what's around the corner, and you've just got to be in the right place at the right time, as I certainly was, well, with both my jobs, come to think of it.
That's great to hear that you actually had some success there with an employment agency. And I'm just thinking about the time that you're out of work. You know, 6 years is quite a long time to have to be trying to think about what's coming up next for you and what employment that you might be entering into. So just wondering how you kept going during that time, how you kept motivated.
Well, having a supportive family, I think, helps. I think that really, really goes a long way. I also did some voluntary work as part of the community visitor scheme, where I went to visit an elderly resident in an aged care facility, because I thought that would look good on my CV, and I realised fairly early on that it would take me a long time to get back in the workforce. I just persisted. I'm a very positive person, and I just stayed positive. You'll get knockbacks and, you know, people will discourage you, but just, I suppose my message would be to just keep at it, keep positive, and, you know, things will come your way.
Yeah, great advice about doing some voluntary work there in the meantime. That is very important, and employers do look on that favourably. But just wondering also, have you got any tips for people in terms of going through the interview process and getting prepared for it?
I think first and foremost to know about your adaptive technology, know how to explain it to employees, because a lot of them won't know. You know, if you approach someone and say, oh, look, I used yours, and expect that they'll know, chances are then they won't know. So you can say, oh, I used yours, which is a screen reader and blah, 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 this is how it works. So I think to know about your adaptive technology, know what adaptive technology is out there. You've also got to come up with solutions to problems that may arise in the workplace. So I think to be a good problem solver is good. Look, the interview with South East Water was actually pretty relaxed. A lot of interviews I'd been for previously, it was through recruitment agencies. They often put disability in the too hard basket. The South East Water interview was very very straightforward. They actually, you know, were very interested in me as a person as well. I think what also kept me going through those times too was my involvement in blind sport, showing that I was, you know, happy to be part of a team. That really, really helped as well. So I think to believe in yourself is probably another message I'd say too. So yeah, that's sort of really, really how I got through the interview. The main question they asked me was, why did I leave my last job? And I said, well, for the simple reason, I was made redundant. You know, that was beyond my control. So, I think that's probably really some advice I'd give.
Yeah, just thinking about too, you know, have you gotten a chance to get into the office yet and have a look at how their operating system works? And is there any scripting that is required for JAWS, do you know?
I believe there is. I haven't seen the actual systems myself, but I believe there's going to be some modifications that need to be done in terms of scripting. And there's a guy called Michael Williams, who's probably familiar to a lot of your listeners, and he does that. And I believe is very good. So I'm in pretty good hands there. So I also will be using a dual headset. For those of you listeners who don't know what that is, that's where you have the caller in one ear and your screen reader in another ear. So in a way, you learn to multitask. So that's the equipment I'll be using. So sometimes ahead.
That sounds good, and I'm sure people will want to know over the next couple of months how you go. So I will check in with you after a while and just get your perspective on how things are going, because that will be interesting to see how it pans out for you. Well, Dean, I'm afraid we're out of time now, but thanks very much for joining me on New Horizons this week, and we wish you all the best with your new employment.
Thanks very much, Ricky.
I was speaking with Dean Calder there. Well, as I said, this week we're celebrating successes that people have had in achieving the goals that they've set for themselves. And now I'm going to speak with somebody who's been around from the inception of Blind Citizens Australia back in 1975. He was one of the founders of the organisation. And we're going to be talking to him this week about the success that he's had in having an audio tactile signal installed near his new home. Mr. David Blythe, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ricky.
We have been working for about the last month or so on your issue, and we came to a bit of an unexpected resolution quite quickly, at least from my point of view, but you've been working on it for quite some month, and I guess that's what I wanted to highlight to people, is that you've been working on trying to get an audio tactile traffic signal installed in your local area, and you've put a huge amount of work into that, and it seems to have paid off. So I just wondered if you could give people some background as to how you went about that.
Well, I think to give me the credit is a bit extreme. Quite frankly, I think most of the credit goes to you and BCA and also my local Member of Parliament. But to brief people, I was moving home. We were moved on the 17th of July, but I started this process 4 months before that, where I wanted a set of audio tactile signals put on a very busy intersection called Centre Road and Thomas Street in East Brighton. I made regular phone calls to Vic Rhodes. First of all, they told me it had to go through Vision Australia. I contacted Vision Australia. They knew nothing about it. So I went back to Vic Rhodes, and they said, no, it's got to go through Vision Australia. Unfortunately, I knew a senior staff member at Vision Australia, so I called them and say she made some inquiries, and they sent an email supporting my application. This has all gone on over a period of 4 months up to when I moved here. After we moved here, I still kept contacting Vic Rhodes because fortunately I had a file number. And I just kept getting the run around that, first of all, I was told that there were audio tactile signals there already, they only had to turn them on. Then I was told there weren't any here. But I could never at any time get to anyone who could make a decision. I kept getting held up with the first person I phoned who answered the phone. And eventually I went and saw the local member of Parliament here. This is after we moved. And he just suggested that I write a letter to them, which I did. And I copied in BCA and a number of other people. And at that time, Ricky, that's when you took it up. And you made representations on my behalf, and the Member of Parliament did too. And it culminated at the end of last week. I received a letter from the local Member of Parliament telling me they'd investigated it, and that they accepted the fact that Vic Rhodes had given me a real runaround, and they told me the priority listings they would have, and they told me I'd be a high priority, and I would be in touch with someone would be in touch with me. The next day, I get an email from you telling me that your contact has been in touch with you and told you that they're going to install the lights this week, and they have.
Really? They've done it. That's fantastic. Oh, man, I have to tell you, it really came as a shock to me because I was given that contact by Yarra Trams. And so I contacted this guy, and he forwarded it on to somebody else, and that guy very promptly got back in contact with me. So I had just assumed that it was because of all of the work that you'd done. So that's really interesting to hear it from your perspective.
Well, to me, I don't know who gets all the credit, but as far as I'm concerned, your intervention and maybe the minister's intervention, it certainly made a big difference to everything I'd been told up till then, I can assure you. And they're there and they're working. I went the other day and had a look at them, and it's great. It's one of the great things that BCA was involved with right from the inception of having these things installed in Melbourne and throughout Australia now. And to me, it was a tremendous thrill to have them there today, I can assure you. I could not have crossed that road without them, quite frankly. It's just too noisy, too busy. I wouldn't have been game. It's not an exact straight crossing. It's on a bit of an angle. And with the amount of traffic that's there, the worry of moving out into the traffic lane, which is too much. And I'm a pretty confident traveller, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and this is why you founded BCA in the first place, you know, to try and get some of these results happening nationwide.
Yeah, actually, the history of that, the audio traffic signals, is a very good one. Right from the time we contacted Vic Rose, there was a guy called George Barnard, who's now still a personal friend of mine, although he's retired now. They took it up in a big way right from the start. I mean, they accepted what we wanted. They knew, they understood it. They did some trials of various devices. I still think the clicking one's better than the beeping one, but Vic Rhodes in those early days were really good, I have to say. And same with the Main Roads Board in New South Wales. They were very good as well. So, and the rest of Australia just fell into line. So it was a good success story, and it was started by BCA. And I have to say now, after 40 years, I really got the fruit of it this week.
Yeah, you sure did, and you certainly deserve it, mate. Yeah, I'm just thinking about any advice you might have for others in the same predicament.
Well, at the risk of overloading you guys, I'd say use BCA. I mean, that's good. It's there. It has a good reputation in government circles and that sort of thing. And I, first of all, would make the initial inquiry myself. And what you must do when you make the initial inquiry, ask them to give you a file number and give them a reasonable time. But the big problem you get, Ricky, is that you can't speak to the people concerned and nobody ever rings you back.
Yep.
So I think you give them a couple of weeks, and if they haven't rung you back, you go to your local member and the BCA and put them all to work. And again, I say thank you very much for your intervention. I really believe it was BCA was the one that moved it.
Oh, man, I'm so pleased for you. I really am. And it's it's a pleasure to be a part of it. Well, David, I really thank you for your time. And, you've been a great inspiration over the years for so many people. And so something very richly deserved and something you needed a great deal. So really pleased to be a part of it, mate. And thanks for spending some time with me on New Horizons this week.
Thank you, Rick, and thanks to BCA.
Blind Citizens Australia is funded by the Australian Government through the Department of Social Services and from the Victorian Department of Human Services. We receive financial and in-kind support from Vision Australia, Royal Society for the Blind, Guide Dogs Victoria, and the RPH stations throughout Australia. Generous donations are also received from our members and the broader community. Blind Citizens Australia is located at Ross House, Level 3, 247-251, Flinders Lane, Melbourne, Victoria, 3000. Our national office contact number is 03-9654-1400 or toll-free 1-800-033-660. You can email us at bca@bca.org.au. Our website address is www.bca.org.au. Ride our dreams down.